Thanks for joining us today. We'd love to hear how this ministry is impacting your life. So if you would please take a moment and send us your story to mystory@oceansunite.com. And if you'd like to partner with this ministry financially, you can do that at oceansunite.com and select the giving option that works best for you. Thanks again for joining in, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
God is looking for a generation, and right now I believe that we are that generation that will say, well, this is me. Amen. I'm going to do what he said. Is that okay? But the enemy desperately wants you not to find out your destiny. Desperately wants to stop you from stepping into your destiny, so that if he gets that right, you'll focus on everything that's going on around you and you'll miss it. And then you'll die and go to heaven. And that's great. Amen. But God has so much more for you. And what you must remember, and I say this all the time, but I'm going to say it again this morning. What you do on this earth affects your eternity. Your salvation is free. But the measure that comes to you because of what God has allotted to you, what you do with that will affect your destiny in heaven. Amen. And there are people sitting here that have got so much that God has for you, but you've either not known how to tap into it, or we'll get into it. Amen. Are you guys okay? Okay. So I was sharing with you earlier on, I was actually reading from the Last Supper, really. And you can see it in several Gospels, but I'm going to jump over to the book of Luke right now, and we're going to go to where Jesus is just basically doing that, having the Last Supper with his disciples, and he's been sharing with them, and he's going to go, and you know, and they get into a conversation. So let's go in our Bibles to Luke 22, verse 24. So he's just shared with them that he's going to be taken away, and they're going to be alone, and all this stuff. Now watch what happens. Now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. Isn't it funny how so many times that's how we are? Jesus is about to go to the cross, and they want to know who's in charge. Who's going to be the main guy? Who's going to be the one that you're going to use the most? Who's going to be the one that's the most anointed? Who's going to be the one that's going to lead? Who's in charge? Who do you love the most? All that kind of thing. Amen? Amen. 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 I know you guys have had a week of meetings, but if you don't wake up, I'm telling you, I'm going to sleep with you. Is that okay? And then we'll all be the sleeping, not awake. Amen. So I need you to just respond, because there's something in this message that wants to come out, but it won't come out if you don't pull it out. Is that okay? You know, I don't care how late you went to bed, young people, you don't go to bed later than me. Okay. So you need to be, you know, you need to grasp this, because there's something in here that's for you this morning that can really change you, that can really change your life. And some of you are on that verge where destiny's calling to you, but the problem is it's been there for about 10 years now. You know, so when are you going to finally say, okay, Lord, you know, let's do this thing. Is that okay? So I want to show you, because that's how so many of us are. Destiny is tapping at the door, knocking at the door. Jesus is about to be crucified, and the first thing the disciples do is they start arguing who's the greatest. And when we come to church and we start to discover this, that's what we like. We want to be the greatest apostle, the greatest preacher, the greatest one that used the most, you know, the greatest. And, you know, and as I said to the first group, you know, you're all competing for second place when it's the one who God loves the most. So you can compete for that, but I've already won that one. Amen. So know your battle is for second place. Amen. There we go. Amen. So you are out there. Hallelujah. Amen. Now watch his response. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Because that's our perception. Yet I am among you as one who serves. Jesus is saying that, you know, you're so busy looking around and wondering who's the greatest. The reality is the greatest is sitting with you. But I didn't come and portray myself as the king. I came and served. In fact, I came and served so much that I gave my life for you. I served to the point where I gave up my royal power, my royalty as a king. I could have come and had that and operated that way, but I didn't. I laid my life down. I came as a servant. And you that are around me, his disciples, not only did I serve you, but I washed your feet. Amen. But when we in leadership or in positions of authority, we want everyone to serve us. And Jesus is saying, no, that's not how it is. So he's basically, I love Jesus' style. He answers their question with a statement, but doesn't really answer their question, but he's answering their question. Does that make sense? So he's answering the question by showing how he is. And he is the greatest, but he's saying that I came and served. So you want to be great? Guess what? You're going to need to serve. Amen. You know, the problem in church is, you know, Pastor, you don't know how anointed I am. You know, in my previous church, problem number one, I used to be, you know, an elder or a deacon. Or, you know, I was the prophet in the church. Well, guess what? Yeah, you're going to clean toilets. Amen. And then once you've done that really well, we'll let you park cars. Is that okay? And then if you're really good at parking cars, we'll see there's some anointing on your life and maybe you can do something else like serving the children's ministry. I mean, it's nice to put your kids there, but we never serve there. Amen. Come on, guys. Hello. You see, your greatness gets unveiled or unfolds when you begin to serve. That's the reality. You see, as the pastor, I see. I have to say this stuff because I know people don't like to hear it because, you know, it's not nice, but it's just the truth. Is that okay? Listen, when I was a youngster, I was so desperate to get near Pastor Harold that I would ask him if I could paint the church for them. I just wanted to be there. If there was a prayer meeting, guess what? I was there. I needed to make sure that they knew that I was serious about this. Yes. Now, please, I'm not asking you to come paint the church, okay? I'm just trying to show you something. Is that okay? But actually, we do need painters. Amen. Okay, I know Scott's reminding me. That's okay. All right, amen. Okay, that's not funny. Okay, that was an example that turned out not to go the way it was supposed to. Amen. The reality is that you've got to understand there's a season. Now you must understand the next statement that Jesus makes affirms this. Watch this. He says in verse 28, but you are those who have continued with me in my trials. He's saying that you are those who have been with me and you've walked with me in my trials. It hasn't been glory. Yes, we've seen miracles. Yes, we've seen God move, but there's been persecution. There's been disappointment. There's been let down. There's been accusation. All that stuff has come up against me and you have been with me and experienced it as well. How many of you know that when you get saved, one of the things you have to do is pick up your cross? So guess what? You are not going to get saved and all of a sudden just arrive. It takes a beating. It takes some stuff that you got to go through because, you see, we've got to see what's in your heart. God wants to look at you and see what is in your heart. Amen. You are those who have continued with me in trials. Now watch. And I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed once upon me. The word bestowed means ordained, decreed, established, make a will, make a covenant. In other words, God is saying that every single one of us, he has bestowed, he has decreed, established, he's placed something inside you. He's put some destiny in you. He's put purpose in you. He wants to use you. It's yours. It's given to you. You are here right now, sitting in this place because God brought you here to wake that very thing up that's sleeping inside you. Amen. He says, and I bestowed upon you a kingdom. You all know what that word means. The word kingdom means basileia in the Greek, which means kingship, royal power, reign. In other words, God has already allotted to you authority to rule over serpents and scorpions. He's already given you everything you need to overcome every trial, every temptation, everything that happens to you. You see, He already knows your end from your beginning. He knows how long your days will be. He knows every test the enemy will bring against you, and it's already deposited inside you. You see, what I love about Jesus is that He's speaking so prophetically. They're still thinking about who's the greatest. And He's busy telling them, listen, I've already placed inside you what you will need when I'm gone. It's allotted to you. It's bestowed upon you. It belongs to you. Amen. Verse 30, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. He goes so far as to tell them what their purpose will be in heaven. Hey, that's one of those where Jesus would have been awesome to walk with Jesus. Amen. Where He's prophesying about your afterlife. So He tells them that I've established in you what you will govern and rule while you're here on earth, your reign, what your destiny, your purpose. And I'm even going to give you a glimpse of what you will do in heaven. Amen. So now, you know, hopefully they're starting to not worry about who's the greatest. Amen. But the reality is that the enemy is desiring to stop you from inheriting that allotment. He is desiring greatly to stop you. Now watch what happens. Then the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you. Let's stop right there. The first thing you need to understand is when the enemy comes against you, you belong to God. When he desires to do anything against you, he has to ask God first. Did you hear what I said? Before Satan can do anything to you, he first has to ask for permission. You know what the problem with so many of us is? The problem is, and I know because I used to be there, is that you cannot apply this to yourself because you don't see it. What you don't understand about the Bible, is that every word in this book, every word is alive. Every word is breathing alive. Listen to me. When you say to someone who has cancer, cancer, come out or leave that person, what is it that does the healing? It's the word that does the healing. Who is the word? Jesus is the word. The word came and dwelled amongst us. And that word was living and breathing and speaking to us, just like it is now through the Holy Spirit. Jesus died and rose again. These words still apply. Let me ask you a question, and I'll show you in a minute. Are you a disciple? If you didn't say yes, you're in trouble, brother. Well, it doesn't apply to me. Oh, it does, brother. Because look at this. And the Lord said to Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you. The interesting thing here is that the word you is a plural, not singular. In other words, God is saying, Satan asked for you all when he was talking about his disciples. This word now comes to all of us who are also disciples. Listen, there will be a time in your walk with God when something great's about to take place and you're about to step into destiny, and the trials and the temptations will come because the enemy desires to sift you. The enemy desires to see what is in you. The enemy desires to see if your praise and worship and everything you say you do, if it's real. Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you. But it's amazing because God wants to make a point that he's speaking specifically to Simon, but at the same time addressing all the disciples. Because the reality is they were all sifted. Go study your Bible. When Jesus hung on that cross, they were gone. We all know about Simon denying him, but they all denied him. The only one that was at the cross was John. And trust me, he had his own tests. Do you really believe? Do you really have faith? Do you really believe in that God that you lift your hands to? Oh man, this is so powerful. Watch this. Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you. You see, the devil is not going to be happy about what God has planned for your life and will try everything to stop you. Remember that when Satan starts to go after you and ask the Lord to sift you, God already knows you can overcome it. How many of you remember the story of Joel? Satan goes to God. And he says to God, you know, what about your people on the earth? They don't really love you. As soon as I do anything to them, they fall apart. They don't even call on you. They start worshiping false idols. And God says, not so with my servant Job. And the enemy says, well, you know, it's easy for Job because, you know, there's a hedge of protection around him. So God says, well, take that hedge away from him. And the devil says, well, we'll see, because as far as I'm concerned, he will curse you once I deal with him. But God knew what Job could handle and already knew that Job would overcome. Now, hang on a second. You see, when the attacks come against you, what you need to realize is God is rooting for you. You see, he said, not so with my servant Job. In other words, I already know Job can do this. So I'm going to let you, Satan, sift him. I'm going to let you see what's in him. I'm going to let you see what I've already placed inside him. And then we'll see who comes out at the top. You see, the reality is that God is saying, I believe in you. I believe in you. The word asked in the Greek is a very powerful word because ask doesn't really describe what's going on there. The reality is that Satan goes and begs and pleads and demands from God concerning you. Satan wants to see if you really are who you say you are. You see, the thing about sifting that we don't understand is that when they sift the wheat, they take the wheat, and in the wheat, when they harvest it, there's tares and there's chaff that's on the wheat, and they put it in a sifter and they shake the sifter violently. And whatever isn't wheat falls through, and then they throw it up in the air and the wind blows whatever isn't good away, and then the wheat falls down and they sift it violently. So you must understand that every attack that comes against you, regardless of how violent it is, regardless of how bad it is, regardless of how bad you feel, you must understand that something's going on in you right now, because God is busy showing Satan that you will not stop worshiping. God is busy showing Satan that you will not stop praising. God is busy showing Satan that it doesn't matter how bad it gets for you, you're not going to give up. Is that okay? Now watch. But I have prayed for you. That you should not fail. That your faith should not fail. I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Now watch this. The first thing that Jesus says to him is he says, I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. You see, it's so prophetic because he's speaking to him, already knowing the outcome, and he gives him something so that he has to know that he's going to have to fight. It's going to require a fight. You see, can you imagine what it must feel like when everything that you believe in all of a sudden seems to be going not right? And, you know, we're going to be blessed and all this stuff, but all of a sudden it's not going so well. Is that okay? And in that season, it's going to take your faith. Faith comes by hearing. The ability to hear what God is saying comes from the word. So the amount of word in you will preserve you in every trial that you come against. You see, when the enemy comes to you and something's going wrong, you have a few choices. You can either just lie on the bed and crawl into a fetal position and weep, which I've done many times, okay? Or you can remember what the word says about that. You see, your battle, you can go in the room and, oh God, help me, and that's fine. We all do that. Amen. Okay, I do that all the time. Amen. Or I can go into my room and know what God says. What does the word say concerning that? You see, I was telling the first group, can you imagine this now? We all like Hollywood, right? Okay, some of you like Hollywood. Okay. Okay, some of you that are real watch movies. Amen. The rest of us are not real. Amen. So imagine the Bible. If they had to take the Bible and put it in a movie, okay, and we had to open that Bible and the words would come off the page, which are living words, and then you just speak what that word says, be healed, and the words go into the person and heal them. What kind of a movie would that be? But we like watching Harry Potter on his broomstick, and we prefer that. The word has so much power. And when your faith is tested, what's really being tested is what's in you. You see, the devil designs to sift you to see what you're really made of. Because if you're not made of the good stuff, you fall right through. But how many of you know that Jesus died and he rose again and he's placed something in you? You see, Peter had to realize who he was. Now watch, because I love the next part. That your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me. You see, he now is prophesying because he knows that Peter will remember the words when he has fallen. He says to Peter, he says that your faith mustn't fail. And Peter's thinking, okay, I'm going to do this thing, Lord. And then he says to him, and when you have fallen, okay, paraphrasing. Okay, let me read it to you. And when you have returned to me, in other words, Peter, you're going to go through some stuff. The enemy's going to sift you. You're going to feel like you're a dog. You're going to feel like you're low, that you are not worthy. You're the one who denied me. You're the one who rejected my truth. When Mary came to you, you didn't even believe her. You're the one who's gone through all that stuff. Now, listen, Peter, when you come back. So in other words, he's saying that you will be able to make it. I've given you destiny. I've given you purpose. I've placed it inside your heart. Now the enemy comes and he brings all this stuff against you. And you can make it. You will make it. You see, he's prophesying over Peter. Jesus was very prophetic. When you have returned to me. I love this part. He says, strengthen your brethren. In other words, Peter, when you come back, when you have been sifted, now you're ready to step into destiny. And not only will your life be changed, but you will change the lives of others. You will change the lives of those around you. You will have influence and impact. And now everything I promised that you would be, you will step forward and do it, not only in your own life, but also in those around you. You see, many of us may feel like everything's falling apart. You may feel like it's getting too much, that it's becoming too difficult, that when are things going to change? But you see, you might be going through that sifting process right now. The reality is that God's already placed everything in you that you need to get through this. The question is, are you going to get up and are you going to say, yes, Lord, or are you just going to lie down and take it? What are you going to do? The reality is that now is the time. Now is the time to be restored. Now is the time for your children to be restored. Many of you have promises for your children. How many of you have promises for your children? Listen, it doesn't matter. The reality is you've been speaking the word to that child. That child grew up in church. They may be walking away right now, but the day will come where they will also face this reality and they will rise up and be everything that God has called them to be. Come on. Strengthen your brethren. Step into your destiny. You will be able to overcome and you will help others overcome. The church is right there right now. The time is now for the church to wake up. The time is now for us as believers to stop looking at our circumstances. And when they come, just say, okay, God, I can do this thing. I can do this thing. I can do this thing. You see, the enemy wants to destroy you. Take your eyes off the prize and worry about your circumstances. You guys, many of you think I preached this even this morning. I want your money. That's why I did what I did this morning. No, man, I want your measured response to give and empower you so that you can be so blessed and walk in abundance. Listen, God takes care of us. And the more He takes care of you, the more He takes care of us. So what do you think I'm doing? I'm empowering you. But we walk in with our religious spirits. I don't need to manipulate you. The Holy Spirit does a wonderful job of convicting. I don't need to control you. I just give you the word. The word is the truth. Amen. And your response to that will determine what's about to take place in your life. You see, the Bible is full of suddenlies. And this morning in this place, let me prophesy to you. This morning in this place, there were many suddenlies. Suddenly, you decided to sow. Suddenly, you decided that your destiny must come forth. Suddenly, you decided that you've had enough of playing church. Suddenly, you've decided. And in that suddenly, God can change everything for you. Father, this morning in this place, it is not by might, it is not by power, it is by your Spirit, Father. And Lord, like it was in the wilderness with the children of Israel, Father, as they looked and they sent in the spies, Father, when the spies came back, Father, they gave a negative report. They did not believe what they saw. Father, your word is full of promises. And when I read your word, Father, I see these promises. I also read about the disappointments. I also read about the failures, but I've read the book to the end. And in the end, you win, Father. Lord, I want to be that generation, Father. We want to be that generation that inherits the promises of God, that walks in the fullness of what you have for us, the former and the latter rain. Father, I pray right now that you will speak to every spirit man in every person in this place this morning. And Lord, you will say, arise, arise and be all that you are called to be. Father, I pray that we will not be the same. Lord, it doesn't matter how many sermons we've heard this morning in this place. Take us and shake us. Raise us up, oh God, to be everything you've called us to be. And even if we walk out of here and have to face the challenges and things that come against us, your word will not fail. And so I pray, Lord, I pray this morning against all depression. I strike you down right now in Jesus' name. I break your power in the name of Jesus. Those that need a breakthrough in the realm of finances, I break the power of the enemy off you right now. Those that are struggling in their marriages, I break the power of the enemy now in your marriage. those that need a breakthrough in any dimension, in physical, in their bodies, in sickness, I speak to that sickness right now. You cannot come through the cross. I break your power right now in Jesus' precious name. And those of you that have heard this word and believe these promises, give a shout of praise. Come on. Yeah. And so it is, Lord, this morning in this place, that we are a peculiar people. Yes, we are. But Father, we desire to follow you. You said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And so we do, Father, this morning. And like Joshua and Caleb, who saw differently to those that did not see what you said and did not believe the promises of God. When you said to them, Father, you showed them and they just said, let's go, let's take that land. Lord, let us be that way. Let us be that way, Father. Lord, we thank you for your grace and for your love and your presence that is here this morning. Now I pray, Lord, that we will not leave here the same, but we will be transformed by this word this morning. Wake us up, O God. Awake our souls, awake our spirits this morning that are on the inside of us in the name of Jesus the Christ. Now, Father, we give you all the glory. We give you all the honor and we give you all the praise. I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the communion with the Spirit be with every one of you in this day. Your lives are changing and it's consistent. God's busy with every one of us as he prepares us for what he has for us. For the harvest is ready and it is time. And the harvest will come. Yes, it will. In the name of Jesus the Christ. And we give you thanks and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day. Amen.
Thanks for joining us. We hope that this message has inspired you in so many ways. If you would like to support our ministry, or if you would like more messages, you can find that at www.oceansunite.com. Once again, we are so excited to have you as a part of the family. Have a wonderful day.